Let me give you a little introduction as to how I'm going to bring this to us. Tonight, I want to focus, because I have plenty of handouts for you all to take some with you or whatever you want to do with them. What I'm going to do is, in order to understand a little bit more in depth about the end times, we need to understand that the horrors and all that we hear about the end time focus of when the Lord is coming for His church, second coming of Christ. You have the rapture, you have the second coming, which are separate. I will be sharing that with you as we go through the study. But we need to know individually, and the world out there is wanting to know individually, how am I able to know that I'm not going to have to sweat this, that I am not going to have to worry about that this end time as to how it's coming out. This is the answer tonight I'm going to be giving. This is how you can know that you're not going to have to worry about it. And when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you will be able to comfortably learn about the end of the age or the end time itself as to what is coming. Because if you're afraid of it, you're not going to learn a lot. But when we understand it's something that you don't have to be afraid of as an individual Christian, then and only then will you be able to relax a little and to look at the Scripture, to study the Scripture. I will everything that I say, I will back up with Scripture. But in this way, the way I am doing it this time, I did it in 2002. I did a study in 2010. I did sub-studies on this 2013. This, I'm going to pull in all the background, all the research over all of these past 20 years that I have been doing this, and I'm going to bring it together in a concise study so that we can learn something and get excited about the end of the age. Now, the end of what age? The end of this age, the church age, that's correct. When I'm talking about the end of the age, all the Scripture of the past, all what we call the Old Testament, all the prophets told about the church age that was coming. And of all the people that were going to be blessed are going to be those that are born in the generation in which we're born in. Do you remember in the Gospel of John, where we will find that, sorry, that means I might end up having to start preaching so my throat will be okay. In the Gospel of John, when it said, in talking about the end of the age, or he's talking about, let me think just a second here. When Jesus says, this generation will not pass away until all these things are going to be fulfilled. Remember that? The generation he's talking about is the church age generation. This generation, the church age, the period from the time Christ came 2,000 years ago, this generation will not pass away until all these things will be fulfilled. So we're talking about the generation of the church age. How are we going to be able to focus our heart and focus our minds on studying spiritually about the end of time or the second coming of Christ or the end of the age or the end of times or the end of days? Have you noticed all the terms that are thrown in there? All of them mean the same thing. Putting your heart at a little bit of rest again as we before I go into the salvation part here. I want you to remember, everybody is so worried, okay, the world is going to self-destruct, man's going to blow us up, all of this is going to happen, war is going to come, and war already has come. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But don't worry about this, the scripture tells us, because these things must come to pass. But man is not going to destroy the earth. How do I know that? God created it. And how do I know then that this earth is not going to end up destroyed before Christ takes us home and all of this? For one thing, Jesus says that he must reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Where's the throne of David? It was on earth, this earth, not on the earth to come. The throne of David is not on the earth to come. He said, I will reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. So, therefore, I don't sweat all of these armies and all of the people saying that man's going to destroy. You are not going to mess up God's schedule. Man is not that tough. So, therefore, we understand that Jesus says that he must reign on David's throne for 1,000 years. We will get into our part in that. You're going to like that part. We will get into that 1,000-year or the millennial reign and the excitement of it for Christians. But in order for everyone to be excited, you got to be a Christian. So what was the problem? How do we reach out to a lost and dying world and lead them to salvation? For one thing, none of us can save anyone else. Another thing, I cannot convince or bring Randy Kidder into conviction. I can't do that. The Holy Spirit can convict him and will convict him and has convicted him and does convict him and continues to convict him. And that's the same Spirit that convicts each one of us. So therefore, your salvation is not based on me. Another person's salvation is not based on you or what you do or don't do. Well, wait a minute. Isn't it my responsibility to take the word? Yes. But it's the Holy Spirit that saves. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. And God says, okay, Larry, I'm giving you an opportunity. Do you want a blessing? Yes, Lord, I want a blessing. Fine. You go over to Mary and you tell Mary this. Now, you better make sure it's the Lord telling you what to tell somebody. You got me? Don't be making stuff up. Mary, the Lord sent me to tell you this. You ought to let the pastor drive the sports car. He needs to take it for at least 6 months to a year to try to... So she catches on real quick. God didn't tell you that. No. All right. So the Holy Spirit says, go share. Tell Mary that I love her. And I share, and I said, Mary, I want you to know that Almighty God says that he loves you. Now, she's going to know that. Why? The Holy Spirit is going to convict her heart. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to her, we then are on the same line with God. There is no time in history does God ever contradict himself. And no time in history. I'm sorry, Faye, I do that to people. Their glasses fall apart. So when God says, this is me, then no matter which one is talking to us, we're going to be on the same spiritual link, right? There's not going to be any variance there. So, the Lord says, so this is what I want you to do. Now, Larry, if you don't share with Randy and with Mary, I'm going to get somebody to share it with them. They're going to hear my word. Somebody is going to be there to touch them that's got skin on them so they can see my word in action. So if you don't do it, doesn't mean it's not going to get done. means I lose the blessing. Got the point? So when I don't do what God calls me to do, I miss a blessing. I happen to enjoy blessings. I love blessings. And I'm selfish with blessings. So the Lord says, share my word with someone. I'm getting there. Why? Because I'm selfish. I love blessings. I want to get God's blessings. But before that can happen, I have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? So I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How did I get it? What did I do to get saved? And the Lord says to us, each one of us, it's not what you do. It's what my son did. And what my son continues to do in you. So here's what I want to give you. He says, a blessing. Because you have to know your situation. This is what I'm going to go into right now. This is a focus on the answers that we are dealing with about death itself. You see, the only thing that can truly, truly, truly frighten a person to where they can hardly move is death. It's death. It's the power of that death. Well, if I realize then that Christ had broken the power of death and death no longer has any authority over me, Satan doesn't have squat to hold over my head. That's not exactly politically correct term. But it's a fact. Squat. Satan doesn't have any authority over me. When I realize that and accept that, then guess what? Then I can move for the Lord. I can walk without fear. Because Satan said, I will kill you if you do this. I read the book, folks, the Holy Bible. Satan has no authority over God. And if I'm going and working for him, then all I have to say is, the Lord remove you. I don't even have to say it. All I got to do is get that cocky spirit of being born again and just keep walking. See, it's not pride in yourself or what you know. It's pride in who Jesus is. I'm on a mission. Who sent you on the mission? Jesus. Who owns the world and all that's in it and all of creation? Jesus. I work for Jesus. Therefore, if you want to stop me, then you go to him. Outside of that, I don't have time to put up with anything that you have to say. So you and I then go out into the world and we take the message of Jesus. Not our message. What's our problem? How did we get that way? Look at your page 1. In our creation, when God created the human race, mankind, God created man to honor, serve, and fellowship with him. Meaning that we are to honor, serve, and fellowship with God. God said, I created you to love you. And I created you with the power and the ability that I'm going to give you to love me back, says God. So therefore, the thing that's going to hold us together is love. The thing that's going to move us is love. The thing that's going to bring us to victory is love. One word, powerful word. The Bible says, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. It pleased God to create me. It pleased God to create you. Now, if you're pleasing to God, what are you sweating? I please God. Now, my actions a lot of times are not very pleasing, but I'm pleasing to God. I'm his child. the action of your children? Did they always really, really, you know, enthuse and encourage you? Okay. First Corinthians 10:31-32. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So the focus is here. This is man, the creation. This is the situation that we find ourselves in. And when we understand this, of why that he created us, to love us and to give to us. And then, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, so do it all to the glory of God. Actually, that out of 1 Corinthians, those of you, I think, studied Corinthians in your all's class this morning. Corinth was a corrupt church. Oh, man, first century church in Corinthians. You got to remember, the majority of the whole congregation is made up of idolaters. This is the first church, folks. This is the first century church. They said, well, you going to the Christian church? There weren't any Christian churches. These were being formed. So they were arguing with each other about eating and drinking. And anyway, Paul finally says, look, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And let me paraphrase a little bit on that. And so then, therefore, keep your nose out of each other's business. Okay? That's a paraphrase. Might have been a little of math paraphrasing in there. But you keep your nose out of somebody else's business. So you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and pleasure of living with you forever. That was King David in the Psalms. Everything that I'm getting across right now is a focus of getting prepared to study, getting prepared for our salvation. We must understand that the Bible says we were created for the purpose of God. Now, there was a problem. Our main problem is sin. S-I-N. That doesn't rhyme with poo, does it? Yeah. But sin's the problem. What is sin? Man chose to sin against God rather than serve him. The Bible says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Sin is, what is it mean to sin against God? Sin is breaking God's law. That's 1 John 3, verse 4. We sin by doing what God has commanded us not to do, or by not doing what God has told us to do. That's a big one. Especially for Christians. You mean Christians still sin? I don't even have to mention that to you all, do I? But the greatest sin we commit today is by not doing what God has told us to do. Well, Lord, I can't do that because I'm focusing too much on the other type of sin. I'm focusing too much on trying to be so good. And I'm not going to do what you told me not to do. And Satan messes me up. Focus on that, Larry. Focus on not doing what God told you not to do. Now, he slips in on Larry Pete. How does he do that? By slipping in by causing me not to do what God has told me to do. Lord, I'm looking at the bad thing that I'm not supposed to do. Yes, but Larry, you're sitting in the pew or you're sitting in your office and you're sinning by not doing what I told you to do. Did I not tell you to go talk to Mary? Yeah. But Lord, she's a Christian. Larry, did I ask you why? Did I ask you when I gave you a direction? Why are you arguing with me? Well, I don't see anything wrong with Mary. Mary's doing just fine. I told you go tell her I love her. She knows that. Hey, you catch yourself doing that? I'm justifying not getting my butt, that was a paraphrase. A lot of paraphrasing gets into my language sometimes. Well, you know, do what I've called you to do. Okay, Lord. Mary, God loves you. Thank you, Lord. I got that off my heart now. Mary already knew that. But it doesn't make you feel good to hear it, don't it? Yeah. See? I told you, Randy. We've got to start listening to what the Lord tells us to do. Here's the penalty of sin. This is why God doesn't like sin. If you think that God, you know, his hatred for sin is so strong that you are going to be destroyed, I want you to know something. No. Why does God hate sin?
Because it hurts
his children. You're right. Because sin is devastating to us. And I just told Mary what God told me to tell her. God loves you, Mary. So therefore, if he loves us, then it is God who's going to attack the author of sin. So he is going to be attacking this sin. Why? Because the penalty of sin is death. See, God doesn't want us to die. God wants us to live forever. Did you know that that body was created? Man was created to live forever. We were never supposed to die. Here's something for you. Tidbit. It's not even a paraphrase tidbit. I have been told, and I know you medical folk have been, that as you age, you know you lose brain cells and your brain will no longer produce new cells. 3 days ago, the breakthrough from the scientist group had looked at and studied over a lifetime of brains. They collected them. Actually, they did. Yeah. Smart ones like ours, Larry, and you know all of them, like gone all the way through, got Randy in there somewhere. During the testing, and now the scientist says that's not true. That elderly folks' brain cells are reproduced as much as young people's. I was so proud of that breakthrough. I'm waiting for somebody to convince my brain that these scientists are finally right on this one.
Isn't that an act of God?
And it is an act of God, because you see, we were never supposed to die. When he created this body, how many other created things grow back parts? Gosh, you can put in a piece of a liver and it'll grow in a human being. Look at all, wait, a lot of us in here. I hope they don't run out of spare parts. I mean, we got so many fake parts in us, we have no idea. But God says, I have a way. So he tells us that sin destroys that. So sin causes death. When the body ceases to function properly, it dies. Ah, for the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. And the Bible says it's the penalty of sin is death itself. It's the wage of sin. You want to get paid for sin? Die. Go ahead. Mistreat your body. Eat all that peanut butter fudge you want until it'll catch up with you sooner or later. I'm pushing for later. But it will eventually catch up with you and destroy your body. Now, look at your, I want you to look at my pictures I have for you. You got those on both pages. Look at them. Man's problem is sin. God's purpose is on the other side. You see that? We'll get that online for him too, Brother Randy. And you're looking at man's problem is sin. Sin's penalty is death. And through this chasm, you have eternal death, and we're still trying to get to the other side, which is heaven. When man chose to disobey God, the result was death. Adam and Eve, they're doing pretty good in the garden. That does let you know something, though, doesn't it? mankind messes up. You can make it as perfect as it can be. Nothing more perfect than the Garden of Eden, you agree? So everything was perfect. And he had to worry about a rain shower. God watered everything from underneath the ground. Never had even rained. They had it made. But they still chose sin. Do you ever think or wonder about that? Because we are the only ones of all creation that are created in the image of God and are created as close to being to God. And so therefore, in that creation, God gave us the freedom of choice. Even in the Garden of Eden, even Adam and Eve had it made the greatest of everything and they chose sin. Do you realize they could have eaten from the tree of life and lived forever? But what did they do? Nope. I want to know more about how to sin. That's exactly the choice they made. I want to do this. Contrary to God's will. That's what sin is. Anything contrary to God's will. Okay. When man chose to disobey God, the result was death. The basic meaning of death is separation. The Bible teaches that there are three types of death or separation that result from sin. Number one, spiritual death separates a person from the life of God. You'll find that scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 1. The next death is physical death. It separates a person's soul from his or her body. You'll see that in Hebrews 9, verse 27. The third death is eternal death. Separates a person, both soul and body, from God forever in hell. You see that in Revelation 20, 15. The scripture I have here for you is a warning for folk to worry when they follow this scripture, they will never see hell. And they won't have to worry about death. I can't die. We're all stuck with each other, Christians, throughout eternity. Might as well love that one beside of you, whether they're lovable or not. Then how can we ever have eternal life? You ready? That's God's purpose. Throughout history, individuals have tried many ways to gain or earn eternal life. That's a big deal still today, you know that. I mean, many want to buy it. Many want to go to the cryo, what did it freeze my... The cryogenic freeze my body or my brain until somebody can put it in. Yeah, well, and...
Well, I'd
total brain freeze. God says, none of that's going to work. I got a new body for you, Larry. It ain't going to get any better than that new body. We're all going to look good. And we're all going to look just as good. Nobody's going to say, oh, he looks better than I look. No, he don't. The human race can never create. That's correct. The question was, can man create? Isn't the reason behind it. That is a fact. Man has no authority to create. You talk about people saying, well, I created this. No, you didn't. To create means to make from nothing. To make from nothing. And only God made from nothing. We always got something to make it from because God created it, right? Okay. Or earn eternal life. But every attempt has been unsuccessful. Now, you all look at your pictures here. And those who are listening, I'll have the pictures on the webpage for you. You can look at it. We like looking at pictures here. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know what way leads to death? Man's way. Man's way. Now you've got a good hint on that. How many times you try to get yourself out of the message you were in? You never could.
Never works.
You turn over all those pages. You got all the volumes of books of the new leaves you've turned over in life. You might as well rake them up with the other leaves and burn them. Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but then there is a way of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. That's Titus 3, 5. How do I get saved? By mercy. How am I able to get up and even have any peace of mind? Mercy. I don't have that much mind left. And the pieces are few and far between. So by mercy, by God's grace, according to his mercy, he saved us. Larry, I'm saving you because you believe my son. I didn't even have to take a test. You hate tests? Yeah, I do. I got friends that can take a test and never look at a book. And they pass the test because they're good test takers. I'd flunk it. I'd look guilty walking in. If I tried to cheat, guarantee you, every eye in the class would be on me. He's cheating because they could spot it. Yeah. But God says,
don't think about it.
You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So therefore, my salvation, my focus on the end of the age, it focused on mercy, it's focused on grace. It is by faith that I know I will live throughout eternity. And I know that I can study the end of the ages, the end of days, the study of the rapture, the study of the second coming, do all of this without fear because I can count it as though I'm already in heaven. That's a gift from God. When God gives you something, he says you count it as though it's done. Right? When you said yes to me, I saved you. That means count it as though you're already with me. Now, if Jesus saved me, who has the authority to take away my salvation?
No one.
No one. Can be done. Now, people argue all the time, yeah, but you can take yourself out of God's hands. Really? I thought nobody. I'm a somebody. Might be a little somebody, but I'm a somebody. I'm a body. Therefore, nobody means not even me. God says, I love you. Isn't that great? God loves us. See where that cross fits in? It's only through Christ that we can handle it. Okay, Christ's payment, our sinless substitute. Jesus Christ, God's sinless Son, was sent by the Father to pay the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross in our place. That's what Easter's about, isn't it? We're hooping and hollering and shouting. Amen. And the lost and dying world saying, what is wrong with those people? You know, they're talking about this man that was put to death and tortured on a cross. And look at those Christians. They really think we're weird. And the thing about us, we know we're weird. And we love each other. We are a peculiar group. Boy, at this church, we are double peculiar in our grouping. Now, the Bible says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What was the sin of man? Lord, I'm going to get good here so you can save me. But the scripture says, no. Christ died for me while I was still a sinner. In a sinful state. I love you, Larry, but you're a mess. And I want you to know that. Christ suffered for our sins once for all. That means he don't have to do it again. That means that I don't have to do it again. I don't have to do what? I don't have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I did. I don't have to get saved every day. I got saved right the first time. Now the rest of me, it all messed up. But I'm a saved, messed up person. I belong to Jesus. Don't you mess with one of God's kids. Don't you do it. Christ suffered for our sins once for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. That's 1 Peter 3:18. To bring me safely home. Oh, isn't that in present tense? To bring you safely home to God. I'm already there, people.
You're already there.
I'm already there. His body just standing in my way. The second coming, the end of the age. Shoot. How can I lose on that? The real me's already with the Lord. The rest of me got to catch up. Then how do we cross the bridge to eternal life? Our pardon. I'm to turn and trust. Okay. Randy, don't you remember there might be a song out there, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way?
There is.
You know what the obeying part was? To obey, folks, the law of God. And salvation is of the Lord. I trust and obey His law. There's no other law given. There's no other name given by which a person can be saved other than that of Jesus. And I am to obey that law, the law of grace, the law of mercy. And I'm preaching. Now, how do we cross the bridge to eternal life? We must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see why I've got extra ones for you? I want you to leave them somewhere. I don't care where you leave them. If you know there's someone there or you think someone might be there that might just pick it up and read it, that's okay. You don't have to go hand it to somebody. They're going to say, I ain't going to read it. She handed it to me. Just leave it set somewhere. Let them think it's their idea to pick it up. And let the Holy Spirit do His job. All right? But this is scripture with pictures. And everybody loves pictures. Especially in Kentucky. We all love pictures. I love books. The more the pictures in the book, the more I want to buy that book. I read it a lot faster. No, that's called speed reading for us, isn't it, Larry? Yeah. Larry and I, we grew up on comic books. Yep. Yep, I didn't have to read anything. All I had to do is look at it. Okay. Jesus himself said it this way, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, I'm going to the Father. I belong to him. But I'm going by way of Jesus, all right? In order to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you must repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only hope of eternal life. Now, to repent of my sins is to say I'm sorry. You know how you do that? What brings you to that point? It's the conviction by the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, if you don't know sin, if you don't know what is sin, then look at what's going on in our own world today. Look what's going on in Vine Grove. And, you know, I had a 15-year-old girl raped by an illegal in Vine Grove just last week. And then yesterday or day before, I had a guy in E-Town murdered by a guy from Vine Grove. Well, nothing goes bad in Vine Grove.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go, it's everywhere, folks. So, what do we need to do? We need to know what repenting of our sin is. Repenting is saying, I'm sorry. Now, listen to me. Please don't start making God a bunch of promises. Lord, forgive me. And forgive Joey, because he was with me when I did it. That's the way a lot of people want to testify. I want to give you a testimony tonight about the sin in my life. First of all, I want to tell you about Joey's sins.
Lying is a sin.
That's a sin, yes. Yes. And so we then get caught up in self. To repent means, Lord, I'm sorry. Shut up after you say that, would you? Because you're going to lie. I'll never do it again. Oh, gosh. How many times have I said that? How many times? How many times have you said that, Joey? Think of it. Okay. The Bible says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Oh, what did you just do to wipe them away? You said, I'm sorry, and you looked in God's direction. What are you going to do physically, emotionally, or mentally that's going to conquer sin? Nothing. Don't you wish you could grab your past and sort of wad up parts of it and throw it in the garbage? You know the problem with that? We'd probably wad up the wrong parts. Yeah.
But you know it really helps if you keep your eyes upon Jesus.
Sometimes human nature or the human existence keeps us from putting our eyes on Jesus. Because, listen, and I'll confess this one. Sometimes I choose to sin. You put peanut butter fudge in my face and watch me. My wife said, don't any of you all in this church make him any peanut butter fudge. But I get the stash slid in here ever so often. Now, just because that was told does not mean that I can't shut my office door and eat peanut butter fudge. And I choose it, knowing that it ain't good. But I convince myself, my stomach convinces me, and my taste buds convince me, that's pretty good, Larry. I don't know what they're talking about. That was good for you. It had to be. And then I go eat the healthy stuff, White Castles. Yeah. And I make up for it. Let's go. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Because you're not going to get them wiped away with your own actions. You agree with that? Okay. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. That's why the world laughs at Christianity. It's too simple. Yeah, and you'll be saved by believing. That's too simple. You didn't even jump or crawl under a pew or jump over one. You didn't shout hallelujah. Randy does that every Sunday several times. That's correct. Yes, but he can't jump over the pew, I guarantee you. He will break his neck.
Watch
him. And whoever is in that pew with him, right? Okay. For listen to Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, might be saved. Shall be saved. It's done. Count it as a being already there. We're already there, Mary. But God loves us. Oh, man. God's promise of eternal life. Jesus Christ said it this way. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Huh. They will never be condemned for their sins. Ah! But they have already, past tense, passed from death into life. Done. Already.
Enjoy it.
I ain't working for it. I can't build on it. What can you add to the cross? No. The blood's been shed. I've been washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Brother Randy, one day I'll sing it. The verse has one promise with three parts. You ready? For the person who believes. Has eternal life. Does not come into judgment. I cannot be judged. He didn't tell me, what do you care what people think of you? Good gracious. You can suck up to them all you want. They still not going to like you. You can try to make them happy. You'll never make somebody happy that's not happy with you. I am who I am. I'm a mess. I got problems. I got sin. I got faults. We got faults. That's why I don't have time to be counting somebody else's fault. I can't keep up with my own. Randy tells me a lot of them sometimes, but I can't, and he's lying. But I know that I don't have all that many faults. Yeah, he's sinning by lying on that. Randy, I don't have that fault.
You could tell he was lying because his lips
were Gosh. Yeah. Okay. I can't come into judgment, and I have passed from death unto life. I'm alive forevermore. So therefore, now, you and I are ready. When we know this and we've accepted Christ, we're ready for a study that's going to blow your mind with how great God is. That's a study of the end of the age. You see, we are living in the greatest of all generations, the generation of the church, full grace, full mercy, full peace. I mean, what more do we want? God says, I love you. I forgive you. Interesting enough, when Jesus forgave you, remember when you said yes to Jesus, accept him as Lord and Savior? And he says, I forgive you, you're heaven bound. Do you not think that he didn't know the sin you were going to create after? Before you even did it and he forgave you? Do you not know that? That's who Christ is, folks. My salvation is based on him. I can't even forgive myself on half the stuff. That's what I'm thankful about. You know, when you lose part of your mind, you lose part of your memory. I just like to remember more of the good stuff. Yep, it does. Yes, yes, I should have waited till the end to tell you that, Larry. Because I knew you'd be thinking about that. That puts us right back, just like a teenager. And then the question is going to be that I have here, will you receive Christ as Lord and Savior today? And you have the 1, 2, 3s. Admit that you have sinned against God. Ask him for forgiveness. Believe that Jesus is Lord and Son of God who died for you on the cross, rose from the dead, and is Lord. Call upon the name of Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you're saved, you can learn and study in the end time study. And where don't be worried about any of this stuff. You're not going through it. And I'm going to give you the scripture that shows you that you're not. And we're going to learn together, and we're going to laugh together, and we're going to grow our brains together. We don't want to pitch them all in together.